Been good music tonight, amen. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. We will be observing the Lord's Supper. Take your Bible with me tonight and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I just have some things I want to share with you. I do want to remind you, I was so many things to announce right now, and I know sometimes that it seems like we just take so many times, but there's so many things going on at our church. We want you to be very well informed, and also sometimes churches just cut completely out the prayer time, and I just think that the church comes together, and every time the Bible says that the church came together in one accord, it was always praying. And Jesus said his house would be called the house of prayer, and I just believe we ought to be praying people. And so I hate to cut out things that the Lord Jesus wants us to do. The devotional is in the back for the next quarter, and so if you did not get it yet, make sure you try to pick that up. We'll have more out as we continue to print them and mail them out for this quarter. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I want to read, and I probably have taken more on than I can do tonight in our time, but I just want to, just something that where we are in time, the Lord is so near to returning. I believe that, and I know that lately we've been talking so much about the work and doing the work of the Lord, that I feel like I want to kind of tie some of all that together tonight as we, just before we do the Lord's Supper. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we realize that the Corinthian church had some trouble. They were not doing the Lord's Supper the right way, not the way the Lord ordered it. They weren't one following the other. They were kind of making a big show of the Lord's Supper. They were kind of bringing a dinner on the grounds, and everybody was bringing their own, and they were doing it disorderly and kind of showing off. At our Christian school, we have uniforms, and the uniforms are so that people don't get out of order and they get showy. And school, instead of becomes a time of learning, it becomes a time of people can show off how much money they have because what they can wear to school, and then belittle someone that doesn't have the same thing as them. And so we wear uniforms so everything is proper, done decently and in order, and we don't have the distractions of things of the world. And we're not constantly battling the things that they would bring to school. And so on top of that, here God sets order throughout his church, and everything that he sets in order, he wants to have that. And so here in chapter number 11 and verse 23, he says, "For I have received," this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church under the inspiration of the Lord, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" Now that key statement, I want you to understand, the letter to the church at Corinth is building. He's dealing, if you were to read back farther, he really was dealing with how they were messing up the picture of the Lord's Supper. And so as he comes, he really gives us the reason that we do this. There's a lot of, there is a reason that we do. Sometimes people call that there's a method to the madness, if you want to call it that. And for the Lord's church, this is something the church is ordered to do until he comes. We tonight look and believe that we're on the point of hearing the trumpet from heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ descending in a cloud for his church. And I believe that, and even Paul believed that, because as he goes through these verses, he is ordering this. But by the time we get to 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about that. He's talking about, he wants them to know about that. And we'll read that, but read through the rest of this. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another." I just want you to see tonight that here the Lord is giving us a warning. This is a something that we do in remembrance of what the Lord did for us in dying and giving his body on the cross and shedding his blood so that we might have redemption through him. But we do this until he comes. This is something that we do to remember that, but also it's something that it helps purify the church. The church is supposed to come together into one place, not to have a feast or a meal at the Lord's Supper, so that we, in if I could say, in a holy reverence, realize what Jesus has done for us and remember that we are supposed to live holy because he was holy. We are supposed to put aside the things of this world and put aside the sin and examine ourselves. Every time that we do this, it ought to be a remembering of just who and what happened so that I could pass from death unto life. I need to realize that so that I again can determine. You know, this world, it weighs us down and works us out to a place and wears us down to a place where our standard of holiness, we're not always shooting for the Lord Jesus. Maybe if we're not careful, we're shooting for some brother in the church. And we want to just be as holy as him when the standard is not our brother. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all too often, we're happy with who we are and where we are when we examine ourselves. Because you say, well, preacher, he shed his blood so that I could be forgiven. Yes. But when we come together in this place, one of the things that we need to examine tonight, you need to examine whether you're in the faith, whether you're born again, whether you're saved, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. One of the ways to take this unworthily is not to be saved, not to be a believer. So if you're here tonight and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Lord's Supper is not for you. If you're here tonight and you have aught with your brother and you are warring with someone else, you shouldn't take this tonight. You should get that right with your brother before you take the Lord's Supper. When the Bible talks about examining yourself, and really for us, this is a warning for the church that we are to hear, because the Bible says there are many that are weak and sickly among us because they didn't examine themselves. They didn't judge themselves, and so the Lord had to chasten or judge them. So tonight I beg you, if you're in that way tonight, don't allow that. But for the church, and especially for us that are working, sometimes wearied in well-doing, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to just show you that he continues to write this letter. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he begins in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now tonight I wanted to read that because the coming of the Lord does sound with the trumpet, and tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. If you understand the feast of the Jewish feast, if you understand their rhythm, there are seven of them. Three of them, really four, have already been fulfilled the way the Lord wanted them to be fulfilled. The first is Passover, and the Passover lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world has come and fulfilled in every way what needed to be done to be the Passover lamb for all sin. Second is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and unleavened bread is a wonderful picture of the sinless body that was laid in a tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, laid in hope of the resurrection. The third of those feasts is the first fruits. It's a first fruits, it's a harvest feast, and it's a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as it came out and was the first fruits of the resurrection. Then Pentecost, 50 days after, came, and again, what a wonderful picture, because if you read through Leviticus 23 and you read each one of those feasts, do you know what it pictures, what Pentecost is supposed to be? It's a peace offering, and it is a picture of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said in Luke 14 that my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, after the 40 days of infallible proofs, 10 days after that, do you know the number of 10 is a number of completion in the Bible? And he completed his work when he sent the promise of the Father to indwell the believer 10 days after he ascended into heaven. And then the next thing on God's calendar or in the feast is the Feast of the Trumpets. It's Rosh Hashanah. That is tomorrow. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? It's he has it the first day of the seventh month. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus came back? He fulfilled all the other things right on the Jewish feast. Wouldn't it be something if we all got called out of whatever we were doing and missed a hurricane? Not because we didn't come this way, but because we all got caught up together in heaven. I'm going to be honest with you. The devil and the false beast and everybody else can have everything that gets tore up if Jesus comes tomorrow. Amen. I'm looking forward to his coming. But I see here, I want you to see this, and I think this is important. Many of you have maybe never made the study. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, and I want you to see something that I think is very profound. You realize that when Jesus returns, we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds in the rapture. And many say, well, because it's the trumpet, you tie it together. No, that's not the only reason we tie it together. The offering that is made on that on this day, the Feast of the Trumpets, is very interesting with exactly what's going to happen to the Lord and his church. And I want to read it to you in verse 23. He begins chapter 23 in verse 23 of Leviticus. He says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the seventh month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servantile work therein." See, we've been talking about work, and again, realizing your labor is not in vain in 1 Corinthians 15, but then he says, this is a time of rest. When this trumpet blows, it signals to everyone around that all servantile work, every bit of work, is to be put down. And then he says this, And he says, "But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." When we are raptured out of this place, the first thing that will happen when we get to heaven is the judgment seat of Christ. And all our works from this life will be judged by fire. And we will make an offering to the Lord of what passes through the fire of our works. And we'll lay them at his feet. We call them crowns, but they will be an offering of fire. Folks, I don't know about you, but tonight, as we approach the Lord's Supper, we've been focused so much at church, and I believe that it's good to be focused on work. I believe it is the work that God left us here to do. Otherwise, he would have called us out of this place, and we could have lived with him. But he left us here to do a job, and that job is the Great Commission. And we do speak much of the work, but at the same time, this is something we do in remembrance of the work that Jesus did. I wouldn't have any power tonight to do anything spiritual if it wasn't for Jesus leaving heaven and dying on the cross and rising again so that I could have a saved soul, and then giving me peace and sending me a Holy Spirit to indwell me, to live in me, and to work through me to do his will. Tonight, as we approach that, I encourage you to take inventory of your own life. Just where you are spiritually. Is there something that you need tonight to take a moment and talk to the Lord about? Maybe ask forgiveness for, get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and just say, Lord, I don't want to go on with this. But either way, I want you to evaluate yourself. Examine yourself tonight. Because if you don't judge yourselves, then God will chasten you. And I would hate for anyone in our congregation in the building tonight to be weak and be hurting because they took the body and the blood of Jesus Christ unworthily tonight. Tonight we do it in remembrance, but we don't need to take it unworthily. Why don't we take a moment tonight and just bow our heads and close our eyes, and maybe if you want to come to the altar, whatever you want to do, if there's something between you and the Lord or between another brother, you just want to take a moment and come and just deal with the Lord this evening. We'll just take a moment for you to do that. We're not going to have an invitation, my brother. Dear Lord, tonight we have so many people in our hospitals and different places. Many people are praying, Lord, and speaking to you tonight. I do pray that you just be with our folks, help them to examine themselves. Lord, I pray that as we go forward as a church, Lord, I pray that we would keep our focus on your return. Help us tonight to realize just what it cost a holy God when he sent his son to die on Calvary and to pay for our sin debt. Help us, Lord, to remember that. And Lord, help us to live holy lives for you. We pray and ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If we could have the men come that are going to help us serve out the Lord's Supper, the deacons and the other ordained men that will help us tonight. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, we'll begin from the floor there. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 26, this records Jesus and his disciples in the upper room, the church. And as they're there, Jesus is beginning to institute the Lord's Supper and speak to his disciples. In verse 26, he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Tonight we will start out with the body, and I hope that tonight that you are thankful for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was broken and pierced and was laid in a grave, but thankfully rose again on the third day for your good and his glory. I'm going to ask Brother Vic, if you would come and pray over the body of the Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege we have of taking part in this church ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, as we ask you to bless the bread representing your body, may we be reminded of what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, as we partake, don't let us forget that you came for the sole purpose of redeeming the lost souls of mankind. And we just pray now, Lord, that you might receive the honor and glory for everything that's done this evening. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
If you look back in the scripture, the Lord says in verse 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my body of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. Tonight, I hope you realize that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood according to the scripture, and it was the blood of the pure, sinless Son of God. Tonight we remember that, and we'll ask Brother Randy to come and pray over the element of the blood.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving your life that we can have eternal life. We ask you to bless this juice in remembrance of your blood that you used to cover our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay.
Bible then says again in chapter 26 and verse 30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." And I think it'd be good for us to stand and do what the church did that night. Amen. Sing together. Brother Bert, would you come and lead us in a song tonight before we go?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. On the first verse. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Tonight in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you again for all that you've done for us, Lord, how you came from heaven and died on Calvary and saved us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to keep this memory, this remembrance of you, Lord, and we do look for your coming. We pray, God, that you would come quickly, but help us, Lord, to be faithful until you come. We pray for all our church members, all the body of Christ as they go their different ways, Lord, even with this hurricane. I pray that you keep them safe. Be with those that are trying to heal, Lord, at home, and pray for them. Lord, I pray we just lift them up to you. And even tonight, the meeting to follow, I pray that you'd be with Kids Club as it begins again. And Lord, I pray you'd bless it and grow our children through it. They are the future of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.